What is wrong with the world? We hear of wars, rumors of wars. We hear of natural disasters, floods, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes. We hear of viruses and diseases. We hear of domestic violence and machete attacks. What is wrong with the world? What is wrong with the world? One of the things we saw last time that we were looking and studying in Luke's Gospel is that we discovered that in order to follow Jesus, it would mean orientating or reorientating our priorities. For the rich ruler, it meant giving away his riches if he wanted to follow Jesus. If it was Zacchaeus, he was only too glad to give it away because he wanted to follow Jesus. And he was glad to do it. It reminds me of a missionary, Jim Elliot, who made a statement in one of his books. He is no fool who gives away that which he cannot keep in order to have that which he cannot lose. It's a powerful message, he states, of what Jim wrote. He is no fool who gives away that which he cannot keep in order to have that which he cannot lose. And if you're familiar with Jim, you know that the year 1956, him and four other missionaries died in a remote part of the jungle in South America. He gave his life. Let's get back to Luke's Gospel. Jesus has been explaining to them and teaching them that he must die, be flogged and spat upon, and on the third day rise from the dead. It did not matter how many times Jesus said something to them, they still didn't get it. They did not understand a word he said to them. And it was not because he spoke softly. At this time, the understanding was held from them. It was while he was going on and they were listening to him, but they couldn't understand. So Jesus tells another parable. He likes telling parables. He likes telling yarns, stories. A parable, in one sense, is a story with a hidden meaning. And the story or yarn provides greater understanding of the situation. And certainly the disciples needed that understanding. The Jesus followers were in need of greater understanding in this situation. So Jesus gives them a story to aid in their memory. And while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them this story because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom was the king and his kingdom. The king enters the city of Jerusalem. Were they prepared for his coming? Jesus continues the parable. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. So he called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Now in one sense, Jesus was preparing the people for the king to come. In one sense, that's what he was saying. The rich ruler, as prepared by Jesus, but he chose to hang on to what he had. And Zacchaeus, he was only too glad to get rid of it. He felt it was far wiser to do that than to hang on to it. When it comes to your choice of king, who have you chosen? Who have you chosen as your king? And it helps us to have this yarn to understand the monetary value of the miners. If you have an NIV version, the bottom of the page, you'll see what a miner is valued at. Now, most of you should know, have an NIV there, so I think you should be opening up your body to their position. The future king or governor would travel to Rome to present their case. So they would go and stand before Caesar and plead their case for their position. That's what they would do. And so the people here are very much aware who Jesus is talking about. It's either Pontius Pilate or Herod. Now, some Caesars would make the appointment, others would not. And at least here we have a choice of prime ministers every few years, whether we want one or not. But they didn't have a choice. It was Caesar, and Caesar made the appointments. That's what they would do. Now, the man of noble birth, who was going to get himself appointed self-appointed, so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minors. Was it 10 minors each or 10 minors altogether? We're not told. But they had substantial resources entrusted to them. They were told to put the money to work until they came back. So put yourself in the sandals of the servants. What would you do with 3.5 months' wages? And you might say, gee, I could do with 3.5 months' wages. Maybe you could set up a lemonade stand out at your front gate. Maybe start a fishing business on the Sea of Galilee. The one thing you cannot do, what are they not to do? Nothing. You cannot do nothing. You've got to do something with the money that's been given. Nothing. So one thing is made very clear in the parable. Jesus wanted to make very clear to the crowd that his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. It would be rare that subjects in a kingdom get a choice. But certainly the subjects of this kingdom did not want the chosen king to be appointed. Yet they were told why they hated the man so much, what they told him to do to oppose the king's appointment. They were running the risk of losing their own lives. I find it interesting that the principal characters in these couple of chapters were all fairly well off. There's the rich man. He had his wealth. He wasn't going to give it up. There was Zacchaeus, who also had wealth, but he was willing to give it away. And now we have this king heading out to get himself appointed as the one in charge. Now, upon arriving home, the newly appointed king sends for the servants to whom he had given the money. He sent the servants to whom he'd given 10 miners, 1 5, and the rest 1. So the first one comes along and said, sir, your miner has earned 10 more. Well done, my good and faithful servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Now that would be a big ask, taking charge of 10 cities. There's an old saying, although you won't find it in the scriptures, and it goes something like this. If you want something done, then give it to someone who is busy, and they will make sure it gets done. Have you come across people with that attitude? Make sure it gets done. And certainly one of the servants of the newly appointed king was of that calibre. The one gave 10 miners was able to double the money, 10 more miners. The one who had 5 was able to double it as well. So it said something to that saying. You want something done, then give it to someone who is busy, and they'll make sure it gets done. You take charge of 5 cities, he said to the second one. And then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow." What are we to make of the servant who kept the mina hidden? It was a gift. Do you hide gifts? We might if we don't like the gift, or we don't like the giver. What is going on in the parable? We've covered the thinking of the people. It was coming. Little did they realise how close the kingdom was. They thought the kingdom was physical, such as the Davidic kingdom under David. But Jesus' kingdom under Jesus would be different. So as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on that Palm Sunday, there were those who cheered on the true king, and there were those who wanted to be rid of the king, whether it be Roman or Jewish. And there was bound to be a clash somewhere as these two kingdoms came together in Jerusalem. The one of noble birth, who went to a far country to get himself appointed as Jesus, as the king, is Jesus. Is the one noble birth who came to earth, born in a stable, received gifts from kings of distant countries, and the noble king himself would die and rise from the dead and travel to a distant country of heaven. The appointed king gave gifts to these servants while he was away being appointed. We must not forget that the king's subjects hated him and did not want him as king or ruler over them. How many face that choice today? They know of Jesus, but they do not want him to rule over them. Who do you know has that attitude? You might want to think about that. Maybe it's yourself. In fact, we find Jesus and the message he brings offensive. Imagine standing in Parliament and saying, "My king is Jesus Christ, and he is king over this Parliament." Do you think people would be game enough to say that? Nothing except hide what he'd been given. We might think he is treated harshly. At least the crowd thought so. He described Jesus in this way: "He is a hard man. I'm afraid of you. You reap what you did not sow." He effectively calls Jesus a thief. He obviously did not want to know Jesus very well. Do you know Jesus here this morning? His master replied, "I'll judge you by your own words, you wicked servant." Now, why is he being accused of being wicked? Well, he did nothing, that was the start. "You knew that, did you? That I am a hard man, taking what I did not put in and reaping where I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Then there was an outcry. "Sir," they said, "he's already got 10. What do you want to give him more for?" He replied, "I tell you that everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away from those enemies of mine. Do not want me to be king over them. Bring them here and kill them in front of me." Now that does sound like harsh treatment. But let me put it to you, it's not harsh. What had this man done? He had disobeyed what God had said. That's why it's harsh. If you want nothing to do with the kingdom, then what other option do you have? What is the penalty for disobeying the king, or any king for that matter? We might not agree with the king's action, but putting to death the servant who had betrayed, is obeyed him. There was an incident in the first century church, and if you've read the book of Acts, you'll know what I'm going to say. There was a couple who lied in front of the leadership to the church. They deliberately lied, and they were put to death. Now we might think, well, gee, that's a bit harsh. Why would you want to be in a church like that if you make a mistake like that? That was the incident. Punishment was death. It does sound harsh, but the purity of the church was at stake, along with the holiness of God. Would you join such a church? It's a fairly high standard set by the members. In returning to the king, he too has set a standard for his servants. They are to be obedient, amongst other things. Quoting Jim Elliot, he was no fool when he wrote that statement. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim would lose his life in a remote American jungle in 1956, but gain that which he could not lose, eternity. What king have you chosen to follow? Do you reject the King of Kings, as many are doing? What is wrong with the world? Quite simply, there is a rejection of the King taking place. Rejection of King Jesus. That's what's wrong. The world has rejected Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this parable that Jesus gave. A parable which clearly tells us that what is wrong with this world is that we have rejected the King. Father, if there are people here this morning who have rejected the King, may they seek peace from you. Father, for those who have already taken that step of faith, continue to encourage them as they accept the King and not reject him. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.